The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Season 4 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we discuss business agility through customer experience, employee experience, and digital transformation. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom. The Agile World podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to techsystems.com. To read more about the topics discussed on this show, you can go to my website at gregkilstrom.com and read my latest articles or get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, now available on Amazon and other retailers. Today we're going to talk about the importance of agility in your career and how to know when to make a big or even a little change. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Eric Cabral, founder and CEO of On Air Brands. Eric, welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be here, Greg. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking with you here. So why don't we start by having you give a little background on yourself. Where did you start your career and what was the first major pivot you made?
Yeah, great question. I started my career doing the traditional route, you know, that friends, family, mother, father, you know, go get a great job. Well, go to school first, you know, go to 4 years of college and get your degree and get a great job. And I did all of that. You know, I jumped into corporate America. I bled whatever corporate colors they had. I did that for over 20 years, Greg. And I got to the point where I slowly climbed up the ladder as a creative. There was a lot of resistance, to be honest, because I just wanted to be a pixel monkey pushing pixels and pencils and doing the work and keeping my nose to the screen. And I was always I was being influenced by my managers to become a manager because they're like, you're great with people. You're great with this and that. You need to step up. You know, you're getting older. When I finally embraced that, Greg, I was like, wow, I'm getting an MBA in business. I had no interest in that, but it just happened, right? And I started to build systems and teams and processes. Most of my wheelhouse and zone of genius is influencing people to like take the leap and follow whatever the mission was for the company. So as I gained experience through the later part of my career, I realized, man, I'm making millions of dollars for these companies within this business. Literally one of them was flat $500,000 a year for like 10, 12 years. When I got put into place, my team and I left with 2.8 million. So they closed that division down and we created a $2.8 million business internally inside of a Fortune 100 company. So that gave me the confidence, Greg, to take the leap into entrepreneurship and say, if I could do it for them, I could do it for myself. What am I doing?
Yeah. So what are you doing now? And, you know, talk about a little bit about what led up to that.
Yeah. So as I alluded to, I'm from creative, you know, I went to School of Visual Arts in Manhattan and, you know, cut my teeth doing what I loved, which is design. And you would think that I created an agency, you know, a creative design marketing agency, which I did not do right off the bat. I wanted to experience something new, to the behest of my wife. She was like, what are you doing? What do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to do real estate investing.
That seems a little different.
Yeah, exactly. Completely different. Left side of the brain, data analytics. And I embraced it and I did it within 8 months of me investing my time and energy and surrounding myself with the right people. I bought a multifamily building and managed it and figured it all out, blood, sweat, and tears. And when I did that, I didn't realize, Greg, what I was doing was I was building a network and I was really adopting an abundance mindset because the real estate investors, there's no competition in that world. They all help each other and they're all willing to share ideas. And I found a coach and I found a mentor and I started to adopt their mindset. And I started to realize that my superpower, being creative, can serve this community. So I help one person do a logo. I help another one do a website, help another one with their branding and marketing, communications. And all of a sudden, it was more than me as a solopreneur or freelancer. I had to hire teams to get the work done. And On Air Brands was born. I started hiring people, and all of a sudden, I recreated what I had in corporate America.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild.
Yeah. So, why don't you talk a little bit about On Air Brands then?
Sorry, I sipped on some coffee here. So, when On Air Brands came, as a branding guy, I was like, I'm going to amplify people's voices. You know, I want to amplify their message, and I couldn't find it. Like, it was already an agency called Amplify. So it came to me. I was having lunch with my business partner at the time, and On Air Brands came to me, and I, you know, took my iPhone out, and all of the domains were available, Greg. And I was like, I literally ran out into the parking lot and started crying, because I was like, this is it. We put people on air. People will resonate with that. They understand that. That has got a history, right, in broadcasting. So that was our tagline at the time, broadcast your message. It has since evolved to making the world a better place, one mic at a time. And that is our mission. On Air Brands has become a conduit and a platform and a tool set for our clients to create a brand or take their current brand and elevate it to the point where, you know, they become the broadcaster, you know, very much like Gary Vee considers himself a broadcast network. So right. Everyone has the understanding that joins us that they have to create a channel. They have to create their own multimedia agency to complement and to serve their business. So that's what we do. We start with podcasting and then social media after that. And yeah, we just love to serve, and we love to figure out, you know, solutions to problems that they're having.
Yeah. So you've seen some big changes in the event space, particularly recently. Can you talk about your experience there, just, you know, in person to virtual, now back, and hybrid, and all that good stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. And please stop me if I rattle on, you know, I can continue talking here. We created an event, and it's called PodMax, and that event served our community, right? So we were creating podcasts for people, and we had all access to podcasters, and we had access to business owners. So I was like, can we just create a matchup, you know, event where people can get on each other's shows and network and hopefully create something together. So we did it once, we did it twice, we did it three times live, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, Greg. And people were getting to the point where they were literally willing to pay thousands of dollars to be in the room, because they started, word of mouth started getting around that people were finding business owners, business partners. People were finding, clients there, not just because of the podcast recordings, which were all live. We had about, you know, 8 to 12 studios, and all running at the same time, recording 50 or 60 episodes in a day. And it was magic. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And people would, you know, convene during lunch, and people wouldn't want to leave at night. And there was just a lot of engagement and a lot of community that was building. And that I did not anticipate, Greg. So then what happened, right? February, March of 2020, live events, no more. Everybody figure it out. So we quickly put pen to paper and launched our first virtual event, I think in May, with the support of VaynerMedia and James Orsini. He was a huge, supporter and love, and came into keynote for us. And it was spectacular, to the point where Vayner asked us to have a meeting to say, how did you figure this out? What are the lessons that you've learned by doing, I think at that time when we had the meeting, 2 or 3 of virtual events. We were one of the early ones to figure it out, but then eventually everybody figured it out by the end of 2020. At the time, we don't do them anymore, but at the time, I think we did about a little over a dozen virtual events. And it was, if anything, an amazing way to build a community. And the community mostly consisted of podcasters. So we served mostly the podcasters, even though the ones buying tickets were entrepreneurs, business owners that wanted to be on podcasts. But it was definitely an amazing experience. And like you said, it was a way for us to pivot and to survive during COVID.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I mean, it seems there seems to be a thread here of, you know, in your career of building networks and just finding ways to connect people. And so to talk a little bit more generally about changes in career. I mean, you know, certainly you described, you know, going from creative to real estate to, you know, to where you are today. What, from a mindset perspective, what did you need to overcome in order to take kind of that first big leap out of what I'll just assume out of a comfort zone and into something like real estate, for instance, that you didn't necessarily have a background in or anything like that? Like what helped you overcome that?
Yeah.
Those internal barriers.
Yeah. Such a great question. I am still figuring it out and I'm evolving each and every day as a business owner. I love this quote by James Clear in Atomic Habits. So he said this on a show, one of my favorite podcasts, Bigger Pockets. He said, entrepreneurship is personal growth and self-development in disguise. Mm. I had no idea. Like when I jumped into it, I was like, I just need to replace my six-figure salary. That's all I need to do. But I didn't know, Greg, that I need to wake up early. I need to eat right. I need to, you know, adopt the mindset of abundance. I need to, you know, exercise, do meditation, yoga, whatever it was, all the things that I have incorporated into my life now happened over time, over the course of years and years and years of sort of training those muscles and getting comfortable with that side of life. Because from corporate America and my mindset as a W-2 was that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do I need to meditate, right? Why do I need to do these things? There's nothing wrong with me. Because what has happened is we have been programmed to think that if you go seek help, if you look for a mentor or coach, then there's something wrong with you. You're lacking. That is the opposite of what I believe now. Like I am always looking for opportunities for someone to be in my world that I can learn from. I'm always looking for opportunities for someone to serve. For me, it was always about what's in it for me. What do I get out of this situation when I walk into a room? Now it's all about, well, I walk into a room, Greg, and I'm like, who can I serve? Who needs help? Who needs me? So it was a long transition. And you know, it was things like the Miracle Morning that put into place Atomic Habits, listening to Tony Robbins every single day to upgrade my operating system, because my operating system needed a serious upgrade, because it was adopted from, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s when I was growing up, 2000, you know, from a family and a tribe of people that weren't entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think and you can kind of see this. I mean, having been surrounded by entrepreneurs for quite a bit of my career and been one myself several times, you know, you kind of see the ones that seem to thrive are open to change. They're to your other point, they're open to helping others and not necessarily, you know, pay it forward. I know that's kind of a cliche, but it works, you know, not necessarily like expecting something in return right away. You know, openness to change, openness to, I guess, to the vulnerability that it takes to say I need help, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, and you know, you kind of see the ones that the entrepreneurs that don't thrive, they kind of close themselves off from others. They are kind of rigid in their ways, and you know, they can achieve some levels of success, but I feel like the ones that really thrive and the ones that we really, the ones that we can really learn from are the ones that kind of have that other more open and I mean, I call it a more like agile mindset, and you know, obviously this is the Agile World podcast, so I'll go there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The word that you said there that stands out to me most is vulnerability. Once I stepped into that and I opened up, you know, my chest to people in my community, and you know what was funny, Greg? Growing up, that was my way to quickly bond with someone or to feel comfortable in a space where I felt uncomfortable. I always had this ability. Maybe I picked it up from my father, who was mostly in sales. adapting, you know, the way I speak, you know, and mirroring what the person in front of me was doing, you know, and I think that translated when I started to build business and all throughout corporate America, you know, I think that's how I made friends. You know, I always related to them. I always had empathy and I always tried to understand where they were coming from and speak their language. So then that translated really well to owning a business because as you know, and as we all know, who are successful in business, is business is based to me first and foremost in any successful engagement, relationships. You have to build relationships with people, and how do you do that? You have to lead by example, and go back to the vulnerability aspect. If you're closed off and you're guarded, and they will sense that, and they won't trust you. You can't trust someone who has their doors closed, their walls up, until they open the doors and put the drawbridge down for you to step in. And then now a real conversation can be had. And that's what I love about podcasting.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, what advice would you have for someone that's maybe doesn't have the experience and the lessons learned and all of that kind of the bruises from being an entrepreneurship? Like, what advice would you give them to somebody that doesn't quite know where to start?
Yeah, mindset. It's mindset. And I know it can be looked at as fluff. Like a lot of people are like, just give me tactics, or just tell me how to do things. Yeah, absolutely. You can get the tactics, you can get the strategies and execute on them, but it'll only get you so far. I always liken this to stacking chips. You know, I'll go back to the poker playing thing where, you know, you've got your financial stack, and then you keep adding chips to that. There are some people out there where that's all they stack on, and they never stack the chips in the love category, in the family category, in the spiritual category. All of a sudden, you see a big, fat, miserable millionaire, multimillionaire. Why? Because they never stacked chips in the other aspects of life. So that's where I started to pay attention. I was like, okay, I'm gaining financial success, but I'm miserable. Why am I so unhappy? And then I started to work on the other levels, the other buckets that I needed to fill. So then now I can wake up every morning and have gratitude and appreciation. And like, this is the stuff that keeps you going. If you're an entrepreneur or you're W-2 and you want to transition, you have to work on yourself. And that is the hardest part, because people think they don't need fixing, but we do. There's a ton of programming that was put into our heads that we had nothing to do with, nothing. And now that is holding us back from succeeding. You can achieve a level of success. Yes, absolutely. But how do you break through? It's mindset. If you talk to anyone who has ridiculously financial success, they speak a different language. Like they're all about giving. They're all about contribution, love, connection, all those things that people deem as fluff because they didn't get it yet. They haven't arrived. So that's where I started to realize I need to be around these people. And that's all who I hang out with now, Greg. It's all about mindset and getting yourself around the people that speak the language and adopt the same mindset.
Yeah, love that. So I know it's hard to predict the future with much accuracy, but you know, what are you kind of listening for, or how will you know when it's time to make a change in your own career?
Oh man, so good. So it's getting to the point, and we'll get to the point where I'm not operating in my business. It's drastically changing. You know, I have a COO who's basically the CEO as well. Like, she's running the company. Yeah. And then I can go travel. I can make, stronger relationships, build relationships, partnerships. And now it's about lifestyle. Now it's about, how do I pour into my family? How do I be the best father, the best husband I could be? Because I don't have to worry about the business as much. It's doing its own thing. So what's cool about that, Greg, is, you know, we do talk about an exit strategy, or we talk about legacy. What do we want to do? Do we want to be acquired? Then what happens with that capital event? You know, what do we do with it? Do we put it into real estate? Do we acquire other businesses? So we're getting to that level where those conversations, those high level conversations of the future, because she's much younger than I, my business partner. So I am happy with her running the company for another 25 years, if that's what she wants to do. But then also for me personally, like I said, what's the next step in life? You know, how do I create more legacy? And it's finances. It's creating a spiritual path for my family. And then, you know, ensuring that I raise kids who don't feel entitled, right? Because money is not an issue for them. They are, you know, they didn't grow up the way I did. You know, I grew up in the streets of Yonkers. And, you know, they live in a very nice neighborhood with very little problems. So that's the challenge right now is family and growth.
Yeah. Well, one last question before we wrap up here. You know, just we talked about quite a few different things here. So, you know, what's a book, article, other resource that you might recommend somebody reads, listens to, watches, whatever the case may be, to kind of learn more about some of the topics we talked about?
Yeah. So Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. That's a game changer because a lot of people think about like, you know, how do I fix this? Or, you know, what's the problem? How do I get the solution? No, it's not about that. It's about who can fix the problem. Who can you get in your world to help you find the solution? So that's a really good book that I highly recommend. Dan Sullivan, Strategic Coach Guy. This isn't a book that I'll recommend, but something that I picked up recently. The One Thing, if you guys know, you know, Gary Keller, they have a whole, you know, ecosystem. And, but the one thing that I picked up recently is the Core Value deck of cards. It's a wonderful exercise for you to go through where it comes with like literally probably 100 cards that all have words on them, you know, like advocacy, abundance, you know, commitment. And it's all sorts of words where when you flip them over, you start to pile which resonates with me or my business, you know, or my spouse. And then you push to the other side, the stuff that doesn't resonate or connect with your core values. And then you start to narrow down. Right now, I probably have 50 in my core values. And then you narrow it down to 12. And then you narrow it down to 3. And then now you can have the best tool in your pocket in terms of your core values and beliefs distilled to a point where whenever you make a decision, it's based off of that. It's based off of your core values. And then you're quicker to make decisions. You're more confident in that decision because you understand who you are or where your company lies in terms of their core values.
That's great. Yeah. I'm going to check that out. Actually, that sounds
it's really cool. Yeah, definitely check. I think I'm trying to look at the website. So just look up. Yeah. The One Thing, My Core Values. And they have a company. They created a productive product, and productive is with a K, productkTV. But it's good. It's a good exercise. It came highly recommended by a bunch of people in one of my masterminds. So yeah, nice. Good stuff.
Wonderful. Well, Eric, thanks so much for joining the show. For those listening, what's the best way for them to keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my own show. I'd love to have you on there as well, Greg. Yeah. It's called Entrepreneur Circle. So be on the lookout for that. Apple, Spotify, you know, all the usual places you can find podcasts, Entrepreneur Circle.
Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Eric Cabral, founder and CEO of On Air Brands, for joining the show.
Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.theagilebrand.show. To get a copy of my latest book, Meaningful Measurement of the Customer Experience, visit my website at gregkilstrom.com. Until next week, stay agile.